Thank you, Josh. Well, good morning again, Scott. Thank you for bringing our hearts and minds to focus on the cross this morning and the forgiveness that we have in the Lord. My heart surely moved this morning on that, just with our focus on the forgiveness found in Christ. And you could say, you know, as we're talking about the theme that we're looking at, what is the Christian life? It is truly a life that we walk in forgiveness, recognizing the forgiveness that we have from Christ, and it impacts everything in our life. As we continue our study of that from God's Word concerning answering the question, what is the Christian life? We're about 6-7 weeks in on that. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians and turn to chapter 3, the book of Philippians chapter 3. And go ahead and grab your outlines as you do. So far, four solid foundational truths about the Christian life that help us answer our question, what is the Christian life? It's right there on the front. These foundational truths also set a truthful biblical self-perception of ourselves as Christians. I want you to think about that with me for a moment. How you view yourselves, self-perception. Live in a world that doesn't even know who they are and want to make up who they are. But as we look at these foundational truths in Scripture, they bring us a biblical self-perception of ourselves. It's important for us to have a truthful biblical perception of who we are in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Such an important thing for us to remember and to know. So as we look at our lives and we look at ourselves, one, we have new life. That's who we are as Christians. We have new life in Christ. You are a person that has been given new life by God through the saving work of Jesus Christ. Second, you are living your life in union with Christ. We've looked at all of that. You're united with Christ. Colossians 2:6 tells us that we're to walk, to live daily in our life in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us you're to test yourselves about this. You're to recognize. It says to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself, it says. Or do you not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So from that scripture, you are to recognize that you are in the faith as you recognize that all your life is united to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we saw last week, that indwells you. You recognize that this life is a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life, showing us what it looks like to walk with our Lord and Savior that our lives are united with. You also recognize that God resides in your life, bringing conviction of sin, giving insight and understanding to the truth of God's Word, guiding and leading our lives. And you also recognize that the Holy Spirit is guiding you, that He's leading you. He's strengthening you to live for the Lord Jesus by obedience to His Word. For you recognize that as you submit to the Holy Spirit leading your life, you're applying and living the truth of God's Word. That's how we submit. These are all things that we've looked at. This is your own life, looking at yourself. This is what I recognize. You see and are seeing that God is producing spiritual fruit in your life as you walk with the Lord, as you will be obedient to God's word, spiritual fruits coming out through your life. You're maturing, you're growing in all aspects of Christ-likeness. You are experiencing God's care and love for you as a child of God, a perfect father, loving his children, bringing us to God, bringing us to access to God, where we cry out, Abba, Father. We've looked at all of these things. As you exercise your spiritual gifts, you recognize that God is using you to build his church. Christ is building his church now through salvation and sanctification, and we've been all gifted to minister in the Lord's church in whatever way that God has designed. And your assurance and your perseverance to remain faithful to go forward grows because of the understanding of the hope that you have. This is our self-perception. This is how God wants us to see ourselves from the truth of God's word of what is going on in our life. All of this is defining your view of yourself from God's truth as a Christian. That's what we're doing this. That's part of what we've been doing is we've been looking at what is the Christian life. So as we examine that, as we look at that, as we go through God's word, this is who we are. Simply, it goes like this: I am a child of God. I am led by God, walking with the Lord, guided and empowered by God, and living this new life given to me by grace, with all hope and assurance of God's promises. That's who I am. That's who we're embracing. This is the Christian life. The truth of who I am, who you are, has a tremendous impact on how you live and what you live for. Would you agree? has a tremendous impact. That's why we study God's word and we look at the truth of God's word, like we did in communion today, that we've been forgiven, totally forgiven, past, present, future sins by the cross of Christ. And he paid the penalty and went to that out of the act of love of God for us. When we look at those things, we recognize who we are. Now, today, from the back of your outline, we're going to look at point four today. As we move along through this, your citizenship is in heaven. That's to have a tremendous impact on your life. As much as that you have new life, so we're trying to learn to live this new life, that new life is in union with Christ, so we're trying to walk with Christ, and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, guiding and leading you, using the Word of God, right? Convicting, all those things. Your citizenship in heaven should impact you the same way. If you look with me at Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, I have you there, right? Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Let's get an understanding of what it means and its implications to our lives, that our citizenship is in heaven. Listen to what Paul says. And the Apostle Paul just declares it as fact and as truth. There's no kind of symbolism here. There's no kind of metaphor here. He's just declaring a fact and what is true. He says this, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." Verse 21 has got to be one of the most encouraging realities that awaits those who are citizens of heaven. It's got to be one of the most encouraging realities. Whatever goes on in this life, whatever happens, whatever goes, we're waiting for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform this body, my body, your humble state, into the conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. You think it's going to happen? Anybody want to doubt it? Like it's not going to happen that you're going to have a heavenly body and your body's going to be completely conformed to the image of Christ? He's the same one that went to the cross is the same one that has the power to bring it about. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. What's that mean? Meaning your status is one as a citizen of heaven. Meaning your legal and naturalized place of residence is in heaven. Meaning the full and permanent allegiance is there. You're a citizen of heaven, so your permanent and full allegiance is to where you belong to. Right? That's what he's talking about. This is for us to understand. You belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ. Those are synonymous for the same thing as citizens of heaven. We're going to look at that a little bit today. Your responsibility is to be submissive to the governing authorities of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the king. That's your responsibility. As one with new life, walking with Christ, right, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you're a citizen of heaven. Your citizenship is there. You're not a citizen of here and there. Your citizenship belongs there. That's where you are. The Christian life is governed by heavenly laws. Our allegiance is to that country. Our loyalty is to the monarch that's there, or the monarchy, and to heaven's cause. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19 tells us we are all fellow citizens of heaven. Those citizens of the heavenly kingdom are eagerly or waiting eagerly for the Lord's return to gather his residents. To gather his people, to bring them to where they belong, to give them their heavenly body so that they can live in the country which they belong to. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12 tells us that we are aliens and strangers here on the earth. What is he meaning by that? Meaning our dwelling on earth is dwelling in a foreign country. That's what an alien is. They're not the ones up in the flu, those kind of things, right? We're dwelling in a foreign land. The earth isn't our land. The earth isn't our destiny. The earth isn't what our citizenship belongs to. On the earth, what is this kingdom going on here? What's the kingdom going on the earth? Now, the kingdom of God is in you, is in me, is in the midst of us, right? We belong to the kingdom of God, but what kingdom is here on the earth? Help me. Right, this is not Christ's kingdom going on here, right? Now, some people with different kind of theology want to think about it in that way, but it's not. This isn't God's kingdom. It dwells in us, but this isn't the citizenship, the place that we belong to. It says it's in heaven by the word of God. This isn't it. You could call this place the domain of darkness. We'll look at that in a moment. Meaning our dwelling on earth is, as aliens, is a dwelling in a foreign country and strangers here on earth. We are strangers to the native people of the earth, the lost. We live according to that, Peter says. So let's dig into it just a little bit more so we understand this and we get a kind of a good, full, rich idea of what this is meaning, how this impacts our lives. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll begin in verse 8. We're going to look there, but we want to just kind of dig a little deeper and get some greater understanding here, how this truth is implications to our lives. Sometimes the chapter 11 of Hebrews is called the heroes of the faith, meaning by faith, these guys are heroes, these people, these heroes, they chose how to live and what to live for according to who they were and where or what they belonged to govern their lives. They were God's people. They belonged to God. These heroes of the faith saw Christ, right? And they had allegiance with Christ. But you're going to see that there was something going on in their life because they understood where they belonged too. Not often noted in Hebrews 11, but look at it with me. Verse 8, beginning there, by faith, Abraham, listen to what God's word says, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out. So he got called. He lived in a really bad land. Abraham's family were pagan worship. God met him, and he's just like, I believe in God. He called me to go that way. I'm going to go that way, right? Verse 9, by faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Did you hear what he said? That city is the heavenly kingdom, heavenly city where our citizenship is. As important as the earthly land, the promised land, was to Abraham and to the God's promises, Abraham looked toward the heavenly land, the heavenly kingdom, into which he would inherit without fail. He belonged to the city, the country that was coming, and lived in this earthly life. Did you read the text? Did you hear it? This earthly life in the land of promise as an alien, it says. He lived in the land of promise as an alien. This is a foreign land. Even though it's the land of promise, God promised Abraham, I'm here. I'm looking for a better country, a better city, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham recognized that his citizenship was in heaven. The land of promise was something here God was working in, but he understood that. Look at verse 13. Yeah, verse 13, listen to what it says here. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own, and if indeed they have been thinking about the country for which they went out, they could have just returned. They had had opportunity to return. They weren't thinking about this, verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. Did you hear that? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the people of Israel in this earthly life never received the promise or really ever possessed the true promised land. Because by faith, they were looking for a better country. That's a heavenly one, the scripture says. They lived their lives as exiles and strangers on the earth. They understood their citizenship in heaven. It's a new heaven and earth. Where exist the new heaven and earth exist together, that what God has planned and purposed. They were looking for that. They belong to that. Now turn back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Let's dig a little deeper. This is true. This is a big thing in Scripture. This is a big thing for us to understand. We need to see the implications to our life, the impact to our life. That as we would recognize that our self-perception would be, wait a minute, I'm an alien and stranger here. Right? This is not the promised land of God. This is not, we're waiting for a Savior. He's going to return, humble the conformity of our body. He's going to take us to where we belong to. Our citizenship isn't here, it's there. Look at Philippians 3:20 with me. Let's dig a little deeper in this so we get the impact to our lives. Paul wrote, verse 24, our citizenship is in heaven. Now look at the first word, for. That's gar in the Greek. It's a causative particle that expresses the reason for what was just has just been affirmed or taught. It's used in the sense of because. You could just put because right there. So you know when you say something like that, because. well, why did you do that, little Johnny? Why'd you do that? Because my sister, she smacked me in the head. And, you know, there was a reason why. You know, there's something that went before, right? So the answer, because our citizenship is in heaven, is answering something Paul has just talked about. And so we need to find out, what was he talking about? Because we know the impact. Because the answer is, well, wait a minute, for our citizenship's in heaven. Wait a minute, because we're heavenly citizens. Wait, you know, that's the answer. That's what he, to something he's talking about. So what is he talking about? Look at verse 17 of chapter 3. He says this, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So there's follow his example, observe those that walk according to the pattern having us, to Paul's example. That's what he's like. So what's the example? What's the pattern, right? We're to observe that. We're to do that. We're to walk according to that because our citizenship's in heaven and people that it is walk that way. You get the point? You with me? What's the pattern? What's it like? Look at verse 14. Here's the pattern. Here's what he's talking about. Here's what he's teaching in chapter 3. He says this, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's very simple. This is the pattern. This is the example. This is what Paul walked. This is what the other ones walked. What's the goal of God's upward call? What is it, you guys? To be like Christ, isn't it? It's not confusing. It's not hard, is it? It's not difficult. It's not like hidden. The prize is that we'll be like the Lord. The goal is to, for the prize of the upward call, the goal is to live completely Christ-like in this life. That's what we're battling for. That's what we're living for. That's what God said. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's in Romans 8:29. It's in Colossians 3:10. That's what Paul's been teaching, discussing. Let me ask you a question, if you know this. Do you know that when we all get to the place where we belong, to where our citizenship resides, all the citizens there will live like each other? They'll all live like each other. We'll all be united together. We'll be all citizens of heaven. We're all going to assimilate to what the citizens of heaven live like. God, by his power, he's going to work in our life forever. What are we going to live like? Kings? What are we going to live like? What's going to be our character, our attitude, our actions? What is it going to be? Christ-like, right? It's not difficult. Again, it's not hard. This is what he's talking about. When we're there, that's what we're going to live like. That's what God has shaped it going to be like, right? Just like being a U.S. citizen, you're to assimilate to be a citizen of the United States, governed by the laws of the United States. We live a certain way here. We have certain loyalties. Now, we see all of that being battled against and all that, but that's what's been going on as a citizen of America, right? It's probably why most of us are kind of a little bothered about what's going on, because they're messing all that up. What we stood for, what we believed in, what we were going to be, what we believe we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to care about each other, all the things as a U.S. citizen, this is what it means to be here, assimilate here, become here. One day, all the citizens of heaven will live exactly like one another. What's that? Christ-likeness. Christians are a colony of heaven on earth. That's good. I like that. We're a colony of heaven on earth, governed by heavenly laws and rules of authority. We seek to learn to live like we will live in eternal life, Christ-likeness. Now look at verse 17 of the text again, down through 20. This is so... Brother, join me in following my example of those who observe and walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, here's the contrast, of whom I've often told you and now tell you weepingly, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who has set their mind on earthly things, because our citizenship's in heaven. We walk after the pattern of the Apostle Paul and the other Christians and believers. We don't walk after the pattern of the people that he just named, right? Because their citizenship's here. And their appetite, their God is their self-gratification, their glory is that shame of it all, and who set their mind on earthly things. Because our citizenship is in heaven. We seek to live like those in heaven. Our God is not our selfish fleshly desires. It's our Lord Jesus Christ, our God. Our minds are not set on seeking earthly things, but on heavenly things, because our citizenship is in heaven. Look at Philippians 1:27. Let's go just a little farther, a little farther in this. Here the Apostle Paul is talking to us as a church, Philippians 1:27. This is really impactful, what he's talking about here. And you know the Holy Spirit told him to use these words, and then how Paul didn't know what chapter 3, verse 20 was going to say before he wrote chapter 1, verse 27. Of course, they didn't even have chapters or verse numbers. It just was a letter he was writing. Verse 27, Paul says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the gospel." One of my favorite passages. The words "conduct yourselves" right there written down, it's one word in the Greek, means to live or to conduct yourselves as good citizens. That's what the Greek word means. It's talking about being a good citizen. That's what those words mean. It's be a good citizen by your conduct. That's the idea of what that says there. Well, where are we citizens of? He tells us later, 3:20, our citizenship's in heaven. So Paul is saying, as citizens of heaven, conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel of Christ. As those who belong to God's kingdom, citizens of heaven, right? Live in a manner worthy of the gospel that saves, and live in a manner worthy of the gospel that transforms lives, transfers you to being a citizen of God's kingdom. Live in a manner worthy of the gospel, because you're citizens of heaven because of the gospel. And that's where the monarchy, that's who's leading us all, that's who the king's at, he's there too. So you got to look at your life. Do I conduct myself in a manner, conduct myself as a good citizen of heaven in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And it says in there, we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're supposed to be doing that together. Love that verse. You see, our citizenship impacts our lives. It's supposed to. The truth of God's word always is supposed to impact our lives. Let's look at citizens of heaven, the implications of what we set our minds on. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. All this connects in all the scripture. So that the ones that were earlier didn't set their mind on earthly things, what do we set our mind on, right? Not the things of the earth, right? We recognize the things of the earth. We got to do the things that we do here. We got to live here. We got to mow the lawn. We got to, you know, we got to cook dinner and do laundry, and we got to get the kids to take a shower once a week at least. You know, those kind of things, right? We live here on the earth, right? It's not like we don't think of the things on the earth, like, oh, I don't even think of anything. I don't, you know, we're supposed to love the people in front of us, even if they're enemies and all that, but our minds aren't really set on the things here. It's what we're to set our minds on. Colossians is really good for this. Look at chapter 3. Scripture tells us, this is really simple and clear. It says this, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died." That's you have died to living for self, died to sin, died to be enslaved to sin, right? You've died. You've got new life. And your life now is hidden, is guarded, is protected, hidden with Christ and God. That's incredible, isn't it? But I want you to capture what he's talking about here. In this passage, it says, those who are saved, those who have been raised to new life, that's us, they have two responsibilities in the text. The first one is in verse 1. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, you might go, well, I don't know how to do that. That gets confusing. What are you supposed to do? Let me just help you as a citizen of heaven on how that really impacts your life and what you're to be seeking. Now, it's a continuous action imperative, right? It's a verb that says do it all the time. It says don't do it just on Monday or a Sunday or on Wednesday or you know, right before I go to bed or right when I get up. It says this is what you're seeking all day long. You got responsibilities here. You got things to do here. But my heart, my mind, your heart, your mind, this is what I'm seeking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep seeking. What does it say? These things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Like I told you, it's a continuing action. Things above refers to the realm or reality of heaven. Okay, that makes sense. So be preoccupied with the heavenly realm and the one who reigns there. Who's that? Who's that? All right, are you preoccupied with Jesus Christ and you keep seeking him, who he is, why he came, what he did, his purpose, his plan, his life, his goodness, his goal, his forgiveness? That's what it's saying to do. This is what our minds are set on. As believers in Christ, with citizenship in heaven, with indwelling Holy Spirit, that are walking with Christ, that have new life. You see where I'm going here? You see where the Word of God's going here? It's an admonishment, isn't it? It's a correction. It's not just like, oh, well, this is a good thing to do and it will be a helpful thing to do. It says, no, this is the way of life. This is the way of life. Be preoccupied with the one who reigns there, the Lord Jesus Christ, his purpose, his plans, his provision, his power, his life. Let heaven govern your earthly life. Keep seeking. You know, as a pastor of a church and church family, and I'm sure Tom and Brent and the elders here can attest to this, it's really challenging. It's challenging. One of the most challenging things, can I share my heart with you today? When Christians won't do this. When they get in all these places in their life, they get all these difficult things in their life, and we're here to counsel and to love and to shepherd and to encourage and all those kind of things. And when it comes to what have you been seeking? Well, is it what I just explained? Because if that's what you're seeking, God will straighten everything out. But when it's not getting straightened out, you need to acknowledge, I'm not seeking what God told me to seek. That's the answer. That's the only answer. That's the answer. It's not like, well, I'm kind of seeking. I'm seeking over here, and I'm trying to do this. God's not working it out. That person's a problem. This job's this. The world's going crazy. Listen, the world can go totally crazy. You can lose everything. But if we keep seeking, do you think we're going to have peace, joy, contentment, hope? This is God. This isn't man's thing, and let me figure out another man's way to get what I want or have or that kind of thing. What's the point of being taught the truth of God's word if you don't live it? What's the point? For a different option in case your way doesn't work out? There's no other way. Second responsibility as citizens of heaven in the text. Look at verse 2, the second thing. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Present, active, tense, again. Continually be spiritually minded. It's what's it saying about everything. Be spiritually minded. What does Jesus think of that? Does that represent him? Is this responding like him? Is this what he has for me? Spiritually minded. It's like, you know, I want to represent him. I want to live for him. Do you? Do we? Or are we spiritually minded? Do we really want to do that? Or we say those things? Or are we spiritually minded? Always thinking about. This is continually to be thinking about what it is to represent heaven's reality where Christ is, whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing. It's your mind being preoccupied with the Lord's way, truth, life found in Scripture, opposed to your mind being preoccupied with earthly things. That's why we struggle with what's going on in our country and everybody in the United States here and coming across and being here. Their minds are not thinking about what it's like to be part of this country. Because they've been told that it's not a good thing to be a part of. Enemy does the same thing to us about the church and about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the way of life here. And he tempts us through everything in the world. As citizens of heaven, we're to seek to live the Lord's way with our minds. Young people, listen to me. You're going to go to college. You're going to go those kind of things through high school. The whole system is bombarding you to preoccupy your mind with not the Lord. That's what your parents are praying for and trying to encourage you in. Because this is the time that you make the choice that you decide what you're going to preoccupy your mind with. The way people look at me, the way they think of me, the way I dress, the way my social media platform goes, the way the clicks go, how I'm shared about within the school and that kind of thing. The whole system is rigged against you to be preoccupied with what the world thinks, not what Jesus thinks. So it becomes a time in your life where you make a choice. I'm going to be preoccupied and set my mind on the things that God wants me to set them on. That's such a helpful thing in this life. Because we belong to the kingdom of God. Like I said, they're all the same. The kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, citizenship in heaven, basically speaking of the same things. The ladies are going to dig deep into this. Have you guys looked through the book of Matthew? How many kingdoms are in there? How many times is kingdom in there? You named it. What'd you name it? I should have wrote it down. The king and his kingdom. That's what you named your study, right? The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. You know what the kingdom of heaven is like? Your citizenship's there. We ought to try to live what it's like. I look forward to all the things you guys are going to write and look at. And then, by the way, that's where I'm going to go next from the pulpit. I'm going to preach the book of Matthew. God just firmed out of my heart this week and that kind of thing. And so doing the study here and so I know this is where God wants us to go to be in the gospel, and we're going to get really encouraged through it all. So Let's look briefly at the implications to our lives because we belong to the kingdom of God. That's on your outline there. We're going to look briefly. This is such an encouragement, isn't it? No condemnation in Christ Jesus, okay? This is God's word isn't to condemn you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you to bring conviction for you to change and grow and mature, does me. He did that right during the communion service today. Ministered to me through the song. Holy Spirit does that in our lives. He takes the truth of God's word. He brings conviction to our heart. We're not to go, oh, man, I'm convicted. I don't feel good about my life. I don't like my life. Like, guess what, man? You ought to be just excited that you have new life and the Holy Spirit can convict you, because the world can't get convicted until God decides by the power of God to pierce their heart with the truth of the gospel. Then they get new life where you can bring conviction of the Holy Spirit. Let's look briefly into the impact, the implications of being part of the kingdom of God. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 13 and 14, kind of start here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Because we belong to the kingdom of God, that has an impact on our life. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church of Colossae and what he wrote in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Thank you, Lord, for really teaching us and really putting on our heart today through our communion service and the songs what it really means to be redeemed and having forgiveness of sins. That's the way that brought us to where we got rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is at the moment of your salvation. This isn't something that you work to, that you get to, that you have to attain or anything like this. At the moment of your salvation, for he, God, rescued you from the domain of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Rescued, he delivered you from the domain of darkness. Domain, jurisdiction, and authority of darkness. That's a kingdom, guys. That's a kingdom. You belong to the kingdom. Before salvation, you belong to that kingdom. I did, you did, we all did. You belong to its jurisdiction, you belong to its authority. You used to belong to that kingdom as a citizen of that kingdom. Before salvation, people in that kingdom, like Philippians 3, 18 and 19, they walk, I might tell you, even weepingly, they are enemies of the cross. There's end is destruction, who God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. They belong to that kingdom. Paul there in Philippians is really admonishing teachers that were teaching not the truth of God's word, but anybody and everybody that just self-satisfaction, self-gratification is your appetite, right? And your mind's on everything here. Now, I'm not saying ours isn't at times, but you guys know what I mean. You belong to the jurisdiction and authority of darkness, and God transferred you. That word means to be moved from one place to another. At the moment of your salvation, he moved you, transferred you to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You now belong to the domain and jurisdiction of the authority of Christ's kingdom as Christ as the authority. That happened at salvation. Your citizenship was moved to the kingdom of Christ, to heaven, to the kingdom of God. He transferred it. All the citizens of Christ's kingdom belong to Christ. Jesus is their king and their authority. They now have a tremendous responsibility that accompanies being part of Christ's kingdom. What would that responsibility be? Anybody want to give me a word? We've got a minute here. You've been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You were jurisdiction, authority, domain, you belong to the kingdom of Christ. He's the king. You have a tremendous responsibility. What would you think it is? Loyalty. Say that again, Leah. Loyalty, good. What was over here? Share the good news, right? Share how do you get a part of the kingdom, right? That's what we're here for. The church is here to share the good news of Jesus Christ, right? And the truth is, we can tell people, no, you belong to the kingdom of darkness. Your sin has bound you in the kingdom of darkness. You can't be part of the kingdom of God until you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The transfer, the rescue, the deliverance is through the Savior, isn't it? It's not through your works. It's not through how good you are or how nice you are or even church attendance. It's through the Savior, and you need saved from your sin, from the domain, from the kingdom you belong to. God says that this is the kingdom of darkness. The prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, which you studied a lot, leads your life, guides your life. You don't really say that to him. That might get a little harsh. But God offers you freedom from sin, freedom from self. God offers you new life. God offers you forgiveness. And to belong to his kingdom. We have a tremendous responsibility, don't we? A tremendous responsibility. We could write down a bunch all day, could we? As subjects of Christ's kingdom, we must properly represent the king. Wouldn't you agree? We must properly represent the king. The love of Christ is true, isn't it? But in our culture and in our evangelical, the love of Christ is misrepresented. Isn't it? Well, what about representing his kingdom then? Because we fall into representing us or what we want, or those, you know, we represent his. The Apostle Paul admonishes the Thessalonian church to walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's from 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Let me just ask you a question. What is it like to walk in a manner worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory? Amen. It is obedience, isn't it? That's what I wrote down. Obedience to the king. Obedience to his word. The implication of those who belong to God's kingdom are many, many, many as citizens of heaven. All of our Bible studies tell us about that, don't they? Adventure Club surely does. All of our Bible studies tell us about this. It just comes down, are we going to represent who's our king? Are we going to acknowledge that we're citizens of heaven, that the Holy Spirit indwells us, bringing conviction to grow us, change us, for us to represent Christ? And the Lord walks with you for you to walk with him. That's what new life is about. Being a citizen of heaven has a big impact to the lives of the citizens. We don't have time to cover much, but let me give you a couple of things. According to Matthew 25:34, it says this: the king will sit on his glorious throne and say, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That will happen. That will happen. One day all believers will live where they belong, where their citizenship is now, because we belong to that kingdom, so we wait eagerly for the Lord Jesus to come. And as we wait, we live and confess we are strangers and exiles on this earth, pursuing to live the life now that we will be completely living one day in eternity, Christ-likeness, as we are preoccupied with the king's way for us now, with our minds and hearts set on him. As Jesus said in Luke 17:21, they're saying, where's his kingdom? Where's it going to come? He said, well, it's not going to arrive this way. It's in your midst right now. That means it's in you. It's in every believer. It's indwelling Holy Spirit. It's walking with Christ. It's new life. The kingdom of God that you've been transferred dwells in you. It's in your midst. It dwells in your heart. But one day it will be the place that you dwell. Isn't that good? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, for the encouragement of your word, and just this answering this question, what the Christian life is. We're digging into the foundational truths to that. There are so many that really are impactful, but we're recognizing that these things just that you presented to us today is citizenship in heaven. Really helps us see that our lives are governed by something other than just our choices. that the truth of what you've done in our salvation, you want us to see that truth, understand that truth, apply that truth. And as we do that, it will govern our lives to reflect those truths. What a day of worship and praise we've had today, Lord. We're so grateful and thankful. May we honor you this day forward. In Christ's name, amen. Have a good Labor Day weekend.